want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Well, thank God. I want to welcome every person to the podcast. I'm going to be speaking on walking in God's Spirit. I want to go ahead and pray for the authorities of the land. Father, I give thanks for all men and for all that are in authority. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon President Trump, Vice President Vance, all his cabinet members, upon the Senate, the House, on local, state, federal law enforcement agencies, all the military officers. I pray the Spirit of the Lord be upon all the kings and presidents throughout the rest of the earth. You know, I've been reflecting on my own speech, which I do a lot, and I go over and over what I teach, and I'm confident what I speak is right, but I've considered, should I leave other teachings alone that are not correct, you know, the error that I hear spoken. But you know what? I find it necessary to correct, that I have to correct it in order that I can continue to build the temple of God, which is people's hearts. And I want to show you that. Look at what God said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. Okay, now Jeremiah has the word of God in his mouth, and God sets Jeremiah over the people of the land. And look at the purpose of God doing this. Verse 10, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to plant and build. See, and I have to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, so I can plant and build. And you know, what I'm planting is the word of God in people's heart. And the error that has been spoken and put in people's heart is getting in the way. So I can't rebuild the hearts by the Spirit unless I do this. All right? 2 Timothy 4:2. Let's look at that. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, you'll notice here, you have to endure sound doctrine. It's easy to adhere to doctrine that doesn't have much correction. All right? Let's look at that same scripture in the Contemporary English Version. The time is coming when people won't listen to good teaching. Instead, they will look for teachers who will please them by telling them only what they are itching to hear. Isn't it amazing? I didn't have that kind of heart. I don't want you to tell me what I want to hear. Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word as you've been taught, that you may be able to by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now, do these scriptures sound like we are to just sit back and let air be spoken? No. Ephesians 4:14, Contemporary English Version. We must stop acting like children. We must not let deceitful people trick us by their false teaching, which are like winds that toss us around from place to place. And you know, being tossed to and fro by error causes people to doubt and never get established in the faith. So I want to speak correction, steer people in the right direction, and walk humbly, you know, and I want to walk humbly myself and be open to correction myself. All right? So let's go ahead and look at what the Word of God says about men walk in the Spirit. Let's first get that established. We all walk in the Spirit, and then we'll get to talking about walking in the Spirit of God. 2 Timothy 12:18. And I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother, Did Titus make gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think you that we excuse ourselves on you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. So first, I want to establish that every human being walks in a spirit. And also, there's corresponding action with whatever spirit you walk in. And we see here that the spirit Paul and Titus walked in didn't come to make gain of us, but rather everything they did was to edify or to build us up. And we know that Paul walked in the spirit of God. Look at Romans 8:14, Common English Bible. All who were led by God's spirit are God's sons and daughters. All right. Now, part of the way that we come in to the walk of the Spirit of God is by putting to death the sin nature in us by the Spirit of God. So go back to verse 13. We'll look at that. Complete Jewish Bible. For if you live according to your old nature, you will certainly die. But if you by the Spirit, you keep putting to death the practice of the body, you will live. Same verse, International Standard Verse. For if you live according to human nature, you're going to die. But if you by the Spirit, you continually put to death the activities of the body, you will live. Okay, so how do we put to death a practice or an activity of the body? We are putting to death what is causing the activity of the body. And I think I've discussed this last week. I know I've said it many times. Romans 7:17. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 20. If I do that, what I would not is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The sin in us is the old man, and he was crucified with Christ on the cross. All right? That's what is causing the practice or the activity of the body. And you know, after you get baptized in water, and you believe your old man has now been crucified with Christ, you keep reckoning him dead, keep putting him off. He will pass away. Then you can be led by the Spirit. All right? Now let's read the 13 and 14 together. Complete Jewish Bible. For if you live according to your own nature, you will certainly die. But if you by the Spirit keep putting to death the practice of the body, you'll live. Now see, this is showing you how to come into the walk of the Spirit. For all who are led by God's Spirit are God's Son. All right? Put to death the deeds of the body, the activities of the body, the practice of the body, that's the sin in you by the Spirit, by reckoning him dead, believing he was crucified with Christ, and then you will start more and more to be led by the Spirit. Now, for those of you that say, well, I don't have any sin in me, turn to 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See? And as we're walking in the light of God's word, we're being cleansed from the sin in us. So you say, well, I don't have any sin in me. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth's not in us. Now, when you get a hold of this truth, that we deal with sin with our faith, then people can face the condition of their heart. All right? So once again, Romans 8:13, 14. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Keep putting to death the old man, and you'll be led by the Spirit more and more. And if you can't tell anything's happening, just keep reading the word, praying the word, and you're going to get up one day and all of a sudden you go, oh, some more of the old me passed away. It will pass away. Ephesians 2, let's look at how we walked in the wrong spirit. See, because you need to be convinced man walks in the spirit. We always have. We always will. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now let's see what spirit we walked in with all this sin in us. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So here's a clear picture that we all walked in the wrong spirit, and we were led around by the prince of the power of the air. Now, the Spirit of God, look at how the Spirit of God will lead us. Or no, I mean, I'm sorry. How the Prince of the power of the air, let us. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, the lust of flesh, fulfilling the desires of flesh and mind, were by nature the children of wrath. See, the wrong spirit led us around by the lust of our flesh. Okay, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. This is the desires of the old man. All right. Ephesians 4:22, and that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. The prince of the power of air led us around according to the lust of the old man. Now, if you can accept what the scripture says and not be condemned about it, but know that part of God's salvation is to come out from under the authorities of the powers of darkness, and to come out from under the control, you have to get your heart changed. All right, let's look at how the Word of God teaches that we're under these spirits. We saw there in Ephesians 2:2 we were under. Look at Colossians 1:13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, that's all these evil spirits, and has translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, people read this and say, says here, He hath delivered us. Past tense. Yes. The work to deliver us was finished, but you have to walk it out. Just like it says, by His stripes, we were healed. Okay? We were physically healed by His stripes. Yet, there's a lot of sick people that haven't received that healing yet. All right? It's the same thing. It was all given to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But you have to, and that's the grace of God, and you access that grace by faith. And see, God designed it this way. You know why? Because to get your faith working, you'll have to repent. You'll have to humble yourself. You'll have to walk in the Word of God. And as you do that, then your faith will get loose. Then you can use your faith to mix it with the grace of God, mix it with the gospel, and you'll start coming out. See, you can't just get the promises without submitting to God. God made it this way. And so you might as well know that. And so, you know, it's just like you want to overcome the devil. It says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You can't just say, well, I'm going to take my faith and get these promises. You'll have to repent of your sin and be led to repentance. Submit your life to God, then your faith will work. Then you can access more grace. Okay? See? And see, Jesus made us the righteous of God on the cross, but it doesn't automatically be worked out when you receive the Lord. Okay? Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of him. Okay. We're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwell in us. Now, this is, people read this scripture and they don't understand it. They say, so I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit because I've received the Spirit of God dwells in me. Okay. This word dwell, and if you get understand this word dwell in you, then you'll understand what it's talking about. It means to occupy a house, reside or remain. So occupying a house means residing and having possession of it. So you don't just receive the Spirit of God, then He takes over. Remember, we have to put to death the lust of the old man to be brought to, and we have to be brought to repentance as part of putting to death the old man. So these evil spirits will lose their control over us. I talked about that yesterday, or not yesterday, I think it was last week or the week before that, how when you're brought to repentance and you can overcome the control of spirits. People also have this mindset that, well, you know, if evil spirits had any control of me, then I must be some monster. No, look at James 3:14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Have you ever met any Christians that are bitter or they're yielding to envy or strife? And, you know, I've had bitterness in me. I've had strife in me. And I don't think I've had much. I haven't seen envy in me, but I may have. But it says this is earthly, sensual, and devilish. See, the lust and the works of the old man, and those are some of the lusts and works of man, is controlled by the devil. The devil's involved in that. Okay? You know, they religious tradition says that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. And, you know, it doesn't teach that in the Bible. And I thought, you know, I thought, well, the devil's clever. You know why I believe he put that in people's hearts? Because Jesus cast seven devils out of Mary Magdalene. So they had to say, well, she was real evil. It doesn't say what her sins were. It just said he cast seven devils out of her. Okay? May have just been strife or whatever. Now, let's get back to, if the Spirit of God dwells in, that means he's in control of us. We're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Okay, turn to, I'm going to see if I can shed some more light on this. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, when Paul sent this epistle to the church at Ephesus, these people were already baptized in the Spirit. So he was instructing the Ephesians, or he wasn't instructing Ephesians to receive those, but rather stay filled with the Spirit. Okay? And we know in the parable of the bottles, the Spirit leaks out of us until the new man is formed. Let's look at that. Luke 5:37. Because I'm telling you, to stay in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, you have to get filled up with it. Because if it leaks out of you, you're not going to move in the Spirit. And I've learned this by experience, but I believe I can teach this by the Word of God. Okay, Luke 5:37. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles. New wine is Holy Spirit. That's the old bottles, the old man. Else the new wine will burst the bottles, which is good, and be spilled. See, it's spilled. It won't stay in you, and the bottles shall perish, which is good. Then, like I said, the new wine is the Spirit of God. And he leaks out of us until the new man is formed. But new wine must be put into new bottles. And look at this. And both are preserved. So the new bottle is the new wine. And after he's formed, the Spirit of God will stay in you. All right? Then when he stays in you, he resides in you, then you will not be in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Let's look at verse 38 in the New Living Translation. The new wine must be stored in new wineskins. See, it stays in you. And, you know, I always like to encourage people this next verse, 39. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. The old wine is evil spirits. And when you first come to the Lord, you'll like evil spirits better. You say, well, how does that encourage me? Well, as your heart is changed, you will like the Holy Spirit better. So if you can get over being condemned that you like the wrong spirit, you like the things of the world. And when it says the world, I'm talking about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. All right? Some people take that mean any, you know, everything, unless it's religious, it's the world. No, it isn't. Okay. So as you continue to put to death the old man, get the new man formed, then you can stay filled with the Spirit of God. See, if you put all these pieces of the puzzle together, you can see how to walk in the Spirit of God. See, God is going to get us there. You know, people that receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ doesn't live through them. Even though they have the Spirit of Christ in them, he doesn't live to them until they're crucified with Christ. Let's read that. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, you have to be crucified with Christ. Put to death the old man. Then Christ lived through you. Well, it's the same way where you get the Spirit of God in you, but until you're crucified and put to death that sin, the Spirit of God can't rule inside of you, just like Christ can't rule inside. He's there, but the old man's ruling. The sin's ruling in you. All right? Let's go ahead and put a song and let's do Battle Hymn of the Republic by Pamela Pontia.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He had loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching in the beauty of the lilies. Christ was born across the sea with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free while God is marching.
And you know what? God's truth is still marching on and still setting people free. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith. And the law of Moses ended when Christ came on the scene. Let's look at that. Romans 10:4. For Christ is in the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth therein. And if you study the New Testament, you'll see nobody preached the law of Moses after when you get into the New Testament. They preach the gospel. Now, Jesus made some statements that sounded like he was telling us to keep the law of Moses, like this one in Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, heaven till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle of the law shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And so, you know, one jot or tittle will not pass away from the law of Moses until it's been fulfilled. But see, if you understand the purpose of the law of Moses, then you'll know it's been fulfilled. All right? Because the law, the purpose of the law of Moses is to give the knowledge of sin, make us guilty, and bring us unto Christ. Then we're no longer under the law. See? Why? Because its purpose has been fulfilled. Now, every time you talk about we don't have to live by the law, people say, are you saying it's okay to steal, murder, you know, lie? Well, of course not. Okay? But we, you know, under the new covenant, see, under the old covenants, you just said, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to murder. Under the new covenant, we get to the root of sin and overcome it by God's grace through faith. Let's look at that, because I'm going to show you I'm not teaching, and the New Testament doesn't teach that, okay, we're not under the law, so now we can go do those things. Ephesians 4:25, it continues to deal with sin, but now we deal with it in faith. Wherefore, put away lying. See that? Speak every man truth of his neighbor, for he remembers one of another. Now, like I said, lying is a violation of the Ten Commandments, and here in the New Testament it says put it away. And you say, what is the difference between quoting the Ten Commandments and saying, thou shalt not bear false witness, and saying, okay, put away lying? Isn't it the same thing? No, let's read that again in context. Verse 22, and that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteous true holiness. Now here's putting off the old man. Wherefore, referring back to what I just read, put away lying. Speak every man truth of his neighbor, for we are members one of another. See, if you try to overcome lying by trying to incorporate the Ten Commandments and say, I shall not bear false witness, look what happens. Romans 7:8, New Living Translation. But sin used this commandment, thou shalt not lie, to arouse all kinds of covet. Well, actually, it was talking about thou shalt not covet. But it works the same for lying. It aroused all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. At one time, I lived without understanding the law. But when I learned the commandment not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life. Now, that's talking specifically about covetousness, but it works the same for lying. If you have lying in your heart, thou shalt not bear false witness. Sitting around saying that will make that sin come alive and make you want to sin it, do it more. Now, there's other translations can change the meaning of this scripture. And I know certain ministers will use those, but let me tell you something. It won't line up with the other scriptures. That's how you could tell you got it wrong. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:56. Sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. It strengthens sin within you. Apostle Paul said, tell me. Now think about it. Here's another place where Paul's addressing we're not to be under the law. He says, tell me you that desire to be under the law. Then he went on to tell us it was bondage in Acts 4:21-31. Then there are ministers who say, well, we don't keep the ceremonial part of the law of Moses, but we keep the Ten Commandments. Look at Galatians 5:1, contemporary English verse. Christ has set us free. This means we are really free. Now, hold on to your freedom and don't ever become slaves of the law again. I, Paul, promise you that Christ won't do you any good if you get circumcised, if you try to keep the law. If you do, you must obey the whole law. And if you try to please God by obeying the law, you have cut yourself off from Christ and his gift of undeserved grace. So if you choose to be righteous by the law of Moses, you have to keep the whole law perfectly. Let's read that, James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Now I'm telling you, if you keep going over these, you'll finally get understanding. See, but these ministers that have been saying this all these years, they just can't seem to understand. So they say, well, we do our best to keep the Ten Commandments, but we fail, but we're justified by faith in Christ. But the scripture says we're cut off from Christ if we try to live righteously by the law of Moses. Look at Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is that the just shall live by faith. It's not just saying we're justified by the faith of Christ, but we live righteously by living by faith. Look at the next verse. And the law is not faith, but the man that doeth them shall live by faith. And I'll tell you something. The devil will attack you when you read it. He doesn't want you to get free from the law. So plainly put, you live righteously by doing righteous deeds, and you're walking uprightly for God by living by faith. And if you're living by the law, it's not faith. All right? Righteous deeds are by faith. And you can't be living by the law of Moses and living by faith at the same time. And as you continue to go to scripture, go through all these different, you'll see the law of Moses is contrary to faith. These ministers hold to the law of Moses. They ignore that the Ten Commandments is a ministry of death and condemnation. And you find that in 2 Corinthians 3:7-9. That's what you're ministering, condemnation and death. They ignore Romans 5:20, moreover the law entered, that the offense might abound. See, I told you it works on the sin within you in Romans 7. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. See, Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. This says the law of Moses makes people sin more. Now, do we get into the walk of the Spirit of God by the law of Moses? Or through faith? Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the law, the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? What's the truth that witchcraft was trying to get them not to obey? The gospel. It says Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. It said that witchcraft was bewitching them for putting their trust in Jesus, died, was buried, and rose from the dead. So these Galatians were bewitched from believing the gospel, and they tried to go back under the law of Moses to live righteous, and Paul called them foolish. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law and the hearing of faith. Now the gospel is spoken of in Romans 10 as the word of faith. It is the hearing of faith. So are you foolish trying to receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? If you study these scriptures in context, you'll see once you get understanding that these Galatians started to be changed by the Spirit of God as they believe the gospel. Verse 3, are ye so foolish having begun in the Spirit? How'd you begin? Believing the gospel. Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So Paul says, if you're trying to keep the law of Moses or trying to perfect yourself, what you're trying to do is perfect yourself in the flesh. You're trying to transform yourself. That's foolish. Have ye suffered so many things, if it be yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministers you the Spirit and work of miracles among you, doeth yet by the works of the law or the hearing of faith. Paul's saying we minister the Spirit, work miracles by faith, not by the law. And we can only be changed or brought unto perfection by the Spirit. We can only walk in the Spirit of God by faith. Go to verse 7. Know ye therefore they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. See, he keeps talking about the difference between the law and faith. They're not the same. And the scripture, or you can't do them at the same time. They're contrary one to another. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Verse 9, so then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now as many as of the works of the law are under the curse. You want to try to live by the law? You're under the curse. Now this next part of the verse, people misunderstand. They think it's talking about that we're supposed to keep the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. See, but we already read, if you don't keep the whole law, then you're guilty of all of it. That's why you're cursed. And you know what? To keep the whole law, Moses, you have to sacrifice bulls and goats for the atonement of your sins. Yeah, that's part of the law. You can't just keep part of it. And if you go back to what they did, sacrifice bulls and goats for the atonement of your sin, then Christ becomes no effect on you. So they say, oh, well, we don't keep that part. We believe the gospel, and then we walk by faith, and then we keep the law. But the scripture says you have to keep the whole law, you're cursed. See, when you read curses everyone that continues not in all things are written in the law, like I said, they think that means you're supposed to try to keep the law. No, it's saying you're cursed if you try to keep the law of Moses, because you can't keep it all. Did you know that if you try to live by the law of Moses, sin will rule over you? Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Galatians 5:18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. See, so we're supposed to walk after Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh. Then we get to where we can stay filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and then we're not under the law. Now look at Romans 7:6. All these scriptures are telling us to get out away from the law, get out from underneath the law. Romans 7:6, International Standard Version. But now we have been released from the law by dying to what enslaves us. So we will serve a new life of the Spirit, not under the old right. Other translation says being delivered from the law. We need to be delivered from the law, released from the law. All right? So we can live in the Spirit, not under the old writings. So as you continue to go over the teaching of the New Testament and get understanding, you'll come to see that God wants, what God wants for His people is to live by faith and walk in His Spirit, and then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then we will fulfill the righteousness of the law. See? We put to death lying, the old man of lying. We put to death the fornicating old man. We put to death all the different sinful acts of the old man. We're getting to the root of the problem. Then we can walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, sin will not have dominion over us. The law will not rule over us. See? See? Walk in God's Spirit. And, you know, like I said, to walk in God's Spirit, we've got to put to death the old man. And we have to become a partaker of the divine nature. We have to wrestle with the devil in prayer. But see, as you get in faith, then you can wrestle the devil, because then you're moving in the Spirit. And as you overcome him, then we'll walk in the Spirit of God all the time. And we'll be doing the will of God. It's all accomplished by God's grace. And we only receive that through faith. All right? So I'll just have to keep saying this so many different ways. This is the hardest thing to get a hold of. And it's very, I know it's not easy, but if you keep putting all these different scriptures together, you can only come to one conclusion. We're not to live by the law of Moses. We live righteously by faith. We walk in the Spirit by faith. And you'll never get there by the law. You'll be under the curse by the law. Sin will have dominion over you by the law. And so it'll take some time to get this in your heart and to get understanding of it. But once you get understanding, there's no way you will believe you have to stand under the law. And I've seen some big ministries out there for over 40 years that they were in the ministry their whole life, and they continue to preach the Ten Commandments. And I'm not saying that they didn't get some people saved, they didn't do some work of grace in their heart, but they did not bring any of them onto perfection, nor could they. They couldn't. See? They could not. You said, it clearly says in Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's trying to keep the law. They could never take anyone onto perfection, to bear fruit, to walk like Jesus walked. Okay? And that's just the way it is. And so, and I'm sure many of these people, God judges every person according to knowledge. I'm sure those that walked, and in fact, I know those that walked in Christ, they went to be with the Lord, but much of their works were burned. Just the way it is. Okay? And so, I pray for all the listeners out there. Father, grant them a spirit of understanding. Grant them the grace to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Open their hearts, Father. Turn them from darkness to light. See, that's another scripture saying we've got to go from the wrong spirit controlling us to the right spirit. And it says, Paul prayed, and I pray that for you now, that you be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that you may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among them which are sanctified. All right? See, you've got to overcome the powers of darkness and come into the walk of the Spirit, and then you'll be blessed with faithful Abraham. There's a lot of people that have money, but they're still under the curse. The curse just didn't hit them in the area of money. Well, thank God. But you can have a lot of money and have sickness. You can have a lot of money and not have peace and not have joy and all the other blessings that come with the inheritance in Christ. Not be an overcomer. Not walk in the Spirit. All right? All right? So I want to encourage every one of you, hold fast to that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised from the dead, and salvation will continue to work in your life. All right? And let God give you a revelation of the old man was crucified with Christ. And that through water baptism, you begin to put him to death. And as you continue to reckon him dead, put him off, he will pass away. And as you hold fast to the word of God, keep sowing the word of God in your heart, you'll bear fruit. That fruit is the new man. And as all of this is worked out, as you believe, you've got to believe you want to get delivered from the law so you can come into the walk of the Spirit. You'll never get there unless you get delivered from the law. And then when you get into the walk of the Spirit daily, then that's entering into the rest. And all the blessings of God are yours. All the blessings of God are yours. So, Father, if there's any person out there that has never been saved, never received the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you to receive him right now. You know, we read that earlier in Romans, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And let me tell you something. There's two spirits in that scripture, Romans, I think it was 8:9. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. And I've heard ministers say this, when you receive Jesus, you got the Holy Ghost. That's another lie that was spoken. That's confusion. When you receive Jesus, you got Jesus. You got the Spirit of Christ. And it's a separate experience when you receive the Holy Spirit. All right? You didn't get him when you received Christ. You didn't get the Holy Spirit when you received Christ. You got the Spirit of Christ. All right? And then afterwards, you can be baptized in the Spirit. So right now, I want to invite every one of you to call upon the name of the Lord. It says there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to have the Spirit of Christ in him, then you belong to Christ. Okay, you cannot just be a church member and belong to Christ. You have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot just be a good person morally. There's a lot of Muslims that are good moral people. They're not good, but they try to be good. They're self-righteous. Okay? But to come into the righteousness of God, you've got to first receive Jesus Christ, hold fast the gospel, and then you'll be made the righteous of God. So you've got to receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ. If you don't do it, you're not of God. You don't belong to Christ. And, you know, Jesus said, there's no other name. What is that? No man. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no way you could come to the true and living God but through Christ. You have to receive Jesus Christ. All right? There's no other name under heaven. There's no other way to God. If they tell you any other thing, it's a lie. And if you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you continue in the truth, you will come to see what I'm saying is truth. All right? So receive the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Just say this prayer after me. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just call upon your name. I just receive you as my Lord and my Savior right now. And I thank you for saving me. I thank you for being my Lord. If you said that prayer and meant it, you believed it, Spirit of Christ entered into you. So I encourage you to come back next week. Tune into my podcast. Continuing the truth, and the truth will make you free. Everybody have a great day. God bless.